You will fail, Halder. The forces of good will always defeat evil. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, to keep the spooky season vibes going, I am here to review Santo and Blue Demon Against the Monsters. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And in light of today's episode, let's ring the bell and get right into it. So, this is, truth be told, not the first time that I have considered doing a Santo Blue Demon film. And yeah, this is quite the stretch when it comes to anything remotely martial art related, but it is combat. I was thinking back right around in April when it was WrestleMania season. I was thinking about pulling out one of these films then. April ended up being just a very busy month. I don't think there was very many episodes that came out anyway on the show during that time period. But this isn't the first time I've kicked around the idea of doing one of these movies, but I finally caved. It kind of made sense to do a Santo Blue Demon film during spooky season, because there actually are several to choose from where they are going up against vampires, vampire women, some kind of monsters. This is more of like a House of Dracula, House of Frankenstein style film where you're getting all of the classic monsters. But for those of you uncultured swine out there who have no idea who I'm talking about, allow me to introduce you to the kings of Lucha Libre, Santo and Blue Demon. So here in the United States, it has not been uncommon for guys who are in the professional wrestling industry, try to make a turn into an acting career to varying degrees of success. Just a couple months ago, after the passing of Hulk Hogan, I reviewed The Ultimate Weapon and talked about how Hogan's not a good actor. He just was not. You can love him or hate him, but the one thing that we can all agree on is the fact that he was a terrible actor, which helps makes a lot of his films kind of cult classics, you know, like 90s nostalgia. But he's a terrible actor, as opposed to someone like The Rock, who is very beloved as an actor. John Cena has definitely made a pretty successful career for himself. The one that still surprises me the most is Batista, just the popularity and the surprising amount of range that he has when it comes to acting. Although I will say, when we saw Knock at the Cabin, the M. Night Shyamalan film that he's in, the movie, like, it doesn't take very long. I think it's within like the first 5 minutes. He just comes walking through the woods to the little girl in the film. And it's just like this long shot of him walking through the woods. And my wife leans over. She loves Shyamalan films. She leans over and goes, "Former WWE World Heavyweight Champion Batista, what are you doing here?" And I still can't quite get over the old man reading glasses he has to wear now. But whether it's one of those wrestlers, or even guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Roddy Piper, even Triple H tried his hand terribly at acting. And of course, The Miz, who has like a lot of direct-to-DVD name credits. There's just a varying degree of success that professional wrestlers turned actors have experienced over the past, you know, few decades. You know, this can go as far as back at least as Roddy Piper in the 80s doing movies. I'm not sure how many guys were doing movies back that far, although Andre the Giant is in The Princess Bride, arguably the best performance by any actor in any movie. But when you take all of the star power of guys like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, John Cena, Hulk Hogan, and all these other guys who have tried their hand at acting, when you put all of their star power together, then you begin to scratch the surface of the star power of Santo and Blue Demon. These two were the biggest name stars in Lucha Libre for literal decades, on top of the game for literal decades as performers. And their star power brought them into filmmaking. And again, for literal decades, they were making movies solo and together, starring in a variety of films from like the early 60s through to the mid 80s or something like that. And yes, in case you were wondering, yeah, they're basically just playing themselves, two masked wrestlers in movies. They're basically playing like secret agent superhero versions of themselves, although the superhero part probably isn't too far of a stretch when it comes to just how they would have been perceived at the time. Here's an example of the star power that Santo and Blue Demon have. So it is not uncommon in Lucha Libre for wrestlers to pass down their characters, especially if it's like a family history kind of thing. So still to this day, there is somebody wrestling. Blue Demon Jr. is someone who is wrestling now, who is somehow related to the original Blue Demon. Santo is in the Disney Pixar movie Coco. It's a cameo and it's real quick, but in the scene, if you've seen the movie, in the scene where they're going to the big musician, I can't think of the musician's name now, the guy who ends up being the bad guy, spoilers, the mariachi guy, like when they're on their way to his big party to Miguel thinks that he is his son and he's gonna like go talk to him or is like related to him or whatever, and he like is going to go to this party, there's like this scene of other people getting into the party, and Santo is one of the skeletons getting into the party. So still all these years later, because that movie came out in what, 2015? Yeah, it wasn't 2015 because I was already dating Claire. So that movie came out like in 2016, 17, 18, somewhere around there. So still to this day, Santo is getting referenced in Disney Pixar films. That's the amount of star power that these guys carried. And that is how significant, how impactful they were in Lucha Libre and Mexican pop culture, especially back again in like the 60s through the 80s when they're making all of these films. And, you know, there isn't really much to say when it comes to the movie itself. Basically, this mad scientist gets brought back to life and he starts getting all the monsters together to, like, do bad things. And Santo and Blue Demon are going to stop him. That's basically the movie. So you get Santo and Blue Demon wrestling all these different monster characters, Vampiro and Frankenstein, and the Frankenstein monster, but the name's a little bit different, getting some wrestling matches as they're fighting these different classic Universal monster characters. But this movie is, as you can tell, this is kind of a thing for me. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that this style of film is something that I enjoy, that it is a peak. We're going to get everybody together, we're going to order some pizzas, and we're just going to hang out and watch a little bit of schlock. This is just like last year, shortly after Halloween, Christian Ashley was on the show, and we reviewed The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. Just kind of like this quirky blending of British horror and Hong Kong kung fu. And it's similar here. You're getting like this Lucha Libre horror movie. Like, it's just a little bit goofy. Now, if you are a longtime wrestling fan, or maybe you're, especially if you are newer to the wrestling world, it is important to kind of point out the distinction of combat that is going on here, because when you think as like an American, when you think lucha libre, your mind may go to places like Rey Mysterio, you know, the Rey Mysterio, especially like early 2000s peak Rey Mysterio, or maybe if you're like a big modern day wrestling fan, you might think like El Hijo de Vikingo, like these kinds of luchadors. And that is not the style of wrestling that was done back then. The high flying, high spot wrestling that were just kind of universally more used to now, especially on the indie scene or in current AAA, CMLL wrestling, like the kind of like high spot aerial wrestling that is a little bit more common among modern wrestling and modern lucha libre is not how Blue Demon Jr. and Santo wrestled. If you need examples, I would say think more of like The Wrestler Vampiro or Chavo and Eddie Guerrero, just a little bit more of like that old school 60s and 80s, like hit 'em hard kind of wrestling is what happens here in this film. And it was the popular style at the time. You're not seeing like crazy, you know, 540 shooting star presses. I don't even think that's a real move. Though if you give El Hijo de Vikingo enough time, I'm sure he'd be able to figure it out. But, you know, these like crazy flippy, I know I sound like Jim Cornette to certain wrestling fans right now, but all these like crazy flippy moves that are very common nowadays, that's not the kind of wrestling that you have here. And in to a degree, that actually makes the combat more realistic. I know, again, you have these two guys in luchador masks for the entire film because this is lucha libre. You do not show your face if you wear a mask. That brings great dishonor and is a big part of like major storytelling within their, you know, storytelling framework. And so, yeah, these guys are walking around in wrestling masks, but having like this not high flying style of wrestling that we're used to now, but more of that like 80s on backwards hard hitting style of wrestling when it was still a little bit more shoot instead of just performance, then, you know, it kind of leans a little bit more towards a bit of realism when it comes to the combat. If I lost you during all of that because you have not watched WWE or AEW or WCW back in the day or any of this kind of stuff, honestly, think the wrestling that they do in Nacho Libre. Because again, that's technically lucha libre. Like, it's technically a lucha libre style, but it's not, most of the characters in that movie aren't doing crazy high spot flippy wrestling. They're doing more grounded chops, clotheslines, body slams, things like that. Gunther Walter from WWE would be another example of just kind of like that. It's more of a like hard hitting shoot realism style of wrestling versus like a, you know, 619 and Shooting Star Press and all the other crazy flippy things that I wish I could do. But like I said, this is just like a cheesy, it reminds me a lot from the horror movie side of things. It reminds me a lot, and I think the just quality of the film, it did come out in the 70s. I think the quality of the film just really reminds me not so much of Hammer Horror as it does, I can't remember the how to pronounce the term, but it's like the Italian horror and German horror films that were coming out in the 70s. Elvira's movie Macabre showed a lot of films, just like a little bit, like it looks a little bit more art house and a little bit more vibrant in color, but it's like gory and, you know, a little bit disturbing, or just a little bit like bizarre, like almost like a surrealism to it. And also there's always little people in the movies. There's one in this one even. I don't know why that was another thing. There's so much I'm learning about 70s movies from watching movies that come out in the 70s. Because as I've said here before, that the recipe for a successful action film in the 70s is big cars, big cigars, and big guns. And I think from watching this movie, I can also definitely add big chess, because oh my gosh, I don't know what is bigger, El Santo and Blue Demon's cars that they're driving around, or the magnificently sized barrel chests that these men are walking around with. They have like trunks of a cedar tree for chest. It is like something. I don't want huge arms and traps and all of that. I want a barrel-sized chest. That's what I want now. That's just such a... That is more of a flex. And I don't know which was bigger, because the cars that they were driving in this movie were just so... also just like the size of speedboats. And I think it's also safe for us to add onto our recipe of making, if I was to make a movie that was to take place in the 70s, big cars, big cigars, big guns, huge chests, and of course, unnecessary naked women. You have to have unnecessarily naked women at some point in your 70s action film in order for it to be good. I don't write the rules, literally. I'm just reporting what I am observing from watching movies that came out in the 70s. You have to have those five things in order to have a successful movie in the 70s. And that now gives me the motivation that one day when Kung Fu Pizza Party is big enough to start running Kickstarters, we will one day do a Kickstarter to make a short film. I want to do that. If there was ever a goal I was shooting for Kung Fu Pizza Party, it would be that one day this would be big enough to start doing crowdfunding, to start making short films, potentially even a long form film, a feature length film, I should say. And one of those movies now has to be set in the 70s, so that way I can have most of those things. I don't know if I should have the nudity, because it is truly unnecessary whenever I see it in any of these films. But, you know, I might just have to take a puff on a cigar once. I'm not straight edge, but I don't smoke, just because I'm better than you. And I also don't vape, because I'm definitely better than you. And I don't do those things. But, you know, for the sake of making a movie in the 70s, I will chomp down on a big old cigar. If I did smoke, that is what I would smoke. I would do like cigars or pipes. That would be my go-to. Cigars late at night with my bourbon, or a pipe while I'm, you know, journaling or writing something important, doing some studying when I'm writing a sermon or something. But yeah, Santo and Blue Demon Against the Monsters. I found it for free on YouTube, and so you can watch it for free as well if you would like to check it out. There's a link for it in the description of this episode. It is truly a throw it on, order some pizza, you know, maybe depending on where you live, maybe you want to make some brownies too. Do with that as you will. But you know, just kind of like hang out, enjoy just what is kind of a laughable film, because it's two grown barrel-sized chest men running around in luchador masks fighting. Is that not the American dream? Yes, I know it's a movie made in Mexico, but is that not the American dream, to one day put on a mask and go fight monsters? Like, that's just, and to do it while fighting with the fighting style of lucha libre rather than Brazilian jiu-jitsu. What are you gonna do, scoot on your butt until you can finally catch up to the werewolf? Like, come on, hit it with a clothesline like a man, like a luchador man. That's all I really have to say about this movie. I would watch it again. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if it would be a routine spooky season watch for me, but it definitely, I would definitely put it back on at some point. I don't think I would necessarily buy the movie. It seems like, though, a lot of these Santo Blue Demon, either individual or co-op films, are pretty easy to find on free streaming or YouTube or anything like that. So I will definitely circle back to this one at some point. But thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. And check out my other shows, here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network, My Seminary Life, where I talk all things Christian theology and philosophy. And you can check out the other great shows here on AMP as well, including Friday Night Frights and Systematic Geekology, if you're looking for some more geeky content in your life. And you know, check out the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party. Let me know what I am missing from my recipe to make the perfect 70s action film. Big cars, big cigars, big guns, huge chests, unnecessary nudity. What am I missing from that recipe? Let me know. And you can follow the show on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY, if you're interested in getting an early review of the movies before the episodes come out. There's a couple sitting on our profile right now that the episodes have not come out yet. So if you follow the show on Letterboxd, you actually get a hint of what will be coming soon before it gets announced on Instagram. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. That is it for me. I will check you all out in the next episode. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.